Second, Deuteronomy chapter 26. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And it shall be, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possessest it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt put it in a basket, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there, and thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, A Syrian ready to perish was my father. And he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few, and became there a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us, and afflicted us, and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice, and looked on our affliction, and our labor, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and with an outstretched arm, and with great terribleness, and with signs, and with wonders. And he hath brought us into this place, and hath given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, hast given me, and thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee and unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. When thou hast made an end of tithing all the tithes of thine increase, the third year, which is the year of tithing, and hast given it unto the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled, then thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of mine house, and also have given them unto the Levite, and unto the stranger, to the fatherless, and to the widow, according to all thy commandments which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof for any unclean use, or given aught thereof for the dead. But I have hearkened to the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all that thou hast commanded me. Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven, and bless thy people Israel, and the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments, and to make thee high above all nations which he hath made, in praise, and in name, and in honor, and that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so we have now an anticipatory section. We're anticipating when they go into the land. They're not yet in the land. They're still on the plains of Moab. But this scripture is spoken as if that is such a fait accompli, such an accomplishment, that we're going to set these commandments up for that time, because it most surely will come to pass. And so we note first the the greatness of all of God's promises. He's not slack concerning His promises. And this would tie back to 2 Peter chapter 3 that we read earlier today. The Lord promised them to go into the land. Well, what about these 40 years? What do they mean? Not a thing with regard to the promise. It's still coming to pass. And so here it comes. Now, when it comes to pass, here's what you shall do. There are a few things said here about the tithe and things that surround the tithe that I'd like to speak with you about. The first is, notice the profession of the man when he comes before the priest with his tithe. He says, "A Syrian ready to die was my father." Who's he talking about? Abraham. He's talking about Abraham. And then when he came out from Syria, he went into Egypt. And then when he went into Egypt, guess what happened? They treated us pretty evil there. And then the Lord brought us out with a mighty hand. In all of that, what is being said? That we don't deserve any of the goodness that God has given to us. We didn't start out, we didn't continue, and we didn't finish very well. We started out a Syrian ready to die. We went down into Egypt, not the land of Canaan, a land not our own. We were strangers in a foreign land. And then they treated us as slaves. They exercised lordship over us in that way. There's nothing about us. There's nothing concerning us that the Lord would look upon us and say, "Ooh, now there is a favored people. I think I'll choose them." And so what do we see here? Well, notice what he does here. And for those of you that have been following our covenant theology lectures, listen to this. He draws together Abraham and Moses quite completely, doesn't he? And he says that in Abraham and in Moses, what do we have? We have nothing about us that would cause God to take notice of us and to bless us. They're both covenants which advertise the great covenant of grace. All right, so then he commands them to do something. He commands them to tithe. And this is the tithe of the third year. Now, if you follow this through, you'll find that there were more common tithes than the third year tithe. But the third year tithe was specifically set aside for those underadvantaged, is how we say it today, those underprivileged, if you will, in Israel. The stranger, the widow, the orphan, and the Levite. And the Levite, because he didn't have his own tract of land where he might have his own herds and flocks. And so that tithe was to be given in service of those folks, but it was also to be given at the first proclamation, because God had been so gracious that we came out of Egypt. I'm sorry, first we came out of Syria with nothing. We went into Egypt with nothing. And we came out of Egypt with less than nothing. We were slaves. And so everything that we have now, well, it all belongs to God. There's nothing that we have that He has not given us. All He had to do was just turn His back on us when we were in Syria, and we'd still be a Syrian ready to die. All He had to do when we went down to Egypt was to leave us there, and we would have lived as strangers in a foreign land. All He had to do when we became slaves was just to leave us alone, because there was nothing in us. But He didn't do that. He brought our Syrian father ready to die out of Syria. And He led him down to Egypt so that he could become a great and mighty nation, even though enslaved. And He brought him out with a mighty hand, and He gave him the land of Canaan. And so everything that we have is because God has given it to us. It's all His gift. And so don't ever let anyone ever tell you that you owe God 10% of your money. Because you don't. You don't have any money. It's all His. And so what the Lord tells you to do is to give 10% in recognition that it is all His. Now, the Lord preserves property rights. And I'm not saying that we don't have that management responsibility over what the Lord gives us, and that other people are to keep their hands off our stuff and we're to keep our hands off of theirs. Obviously, all of that's true. But let's remember that it is indeed the Lord who gives us power to get wealth. That it is the Lord who enriches us. And because He is the one who enriches us, we ought never to think, "This is my money." We ought always to think this is the Lord's money, and 10% is explicitly His. And the rest of it is to be used in accordance with His commandments and for His glory. Now, the Lord is very generous. He doesn't even mind that we spend some on recreations. As a matter of fact, He says He gives us all things richly to enjoy. The Lord is not opposed to your enjoyment. Please don't hear me saying that. But also hear me saying this. And this is not a plea for the Lord's money from your pocket. Please hear that also. But if you want to give 25% instead of 10%, remember that the word tithe simply means 10%. If you want to make your regular giving 25% or 50% instead of 10%, you've still not given more than what the Lord has given you. If you make it 75%, if you make it 90%, remember that it is all the Lord's money. The Lord has indeed said, "Give me the tithe." Now, in the Old Testament, the tithe came at several different stages so that it was actually more than 10% required giving. Those were part of the ceremonials. The tithe continues today. But that 10% ought never to be thought of as the gift that we give to God. Notice, and this makes it very clear, listen to what this man says in verse 13. "Then thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of mine house, and have also given them unto the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all thy commandments." What are the hallowed things there? That's the tithe we've been talking about. In other words, he's not saying, okay, now I gave my tithe, oh, and over above that, I picked some holy things out of my house and gave those to the Lord also. No, the tithe is called the holy things because that's the Lord's. It belongs to Him. It is set apart for Him. It's the holy thing. And that's why in the larger catechism, when we speak about not tithing, we speak about sacrilege. You know what sacrilege is? Sacrilege is taking that which is holy and turning it into something profane or using it for a profane or common use. That is, taking the Lord's tithe and making it common by not giving it to Him. This is why this man here professes at the behest of Moses the prophet, the Lord speaking here, says, "I profess that I have not kept any of the holy things in my house." In other words, the tithe. That's all been brought forth so that it may be used in service for the Levite, for the stranger, for the widow, and for the orphan. And that is this third year tithe specifically set apart for that. So let's get our thinking straight with regard to the tithe. Of course, the other thing about the tithe that the Lord makes clear in Scripture, and we've talked about before, is that if you don't give the Lord His money as He has commanded, well then, because the rest of it's His too, He'll simply blow on it. Now notice, if the rest of it was yours, the Lord would be stealing it from you if He blew on the rest, right? If you didn't give the tithe and the Lord blew on the rest, like it says in Haggai chapter 1, then that would be stealing. That would be unjust of the Lord. But because it's His, it's impossible for the Lord to steal. He's not stealing. It's already His. He'll just blow on it and it'll disappear so you won't have the use of it if you're robbing Him. Stealing from Him, using the tithe in a sacrilegious way. All right, so that's the first part of the chapter. That's verses 1 through 15. And notice in verse 15, the man, after his profession, that he's not held back any of the tithe, he says, "Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven and bless thy people Israel and the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey." And that is exactly the same that we read in Malachi chapter 3, where the Lord challenges to bring all of the tithe into the storehouse and see whether or not I'll send you a blessing. Because I'll tell you right now, the Lord says, if I can colloquialize it a little bit, I'll tell you right now, what I'll do is I'll pour out a blessing so wide and so large that you won't be able to receive it. Now let's not think of a wallet blessing so much as we would anticipate a spiritual blessing that the Lord will send. And so the point, my dear brethren, is if you want to impoverish yourselves, keep the Lord's tithe. If you want to enrich yourselves, then cast your bread upon the waters. Like Solomon says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. All right, so then the chapter ends with this wonderful, wonderful statement about what it means to be the Lord's. Notice verse 17. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God. Can I just say, that's what it means to be a covenanter. To avouch the Lord as your God. To call upon His name. And notice what the Lord says. And the Lord has avouched thee this day to be His peculiar people as He hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep His commandments. I hope you saw that on the side of the covenanter, he says what? I have avouched the Lord to be my God, I'll keep His commandments. And the Lord says, I have avouched to be your God, keep my commandments. You see how clear that is? So with all the talk of grace that we had in the morning service, and certainly that is true, that in no way negates the commandments of God, rather it returns the commandments of God to the people of God, because now they love them because they have come to Christ for rest. The commandments are no longer a burden to them that crushes them. Why? Because they're resting upon Christ. The commandments now are that light yoke that the Lord Jesus Christ proclaims Him to be. Thus ends the reading of Deuteronomy chapter 26. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms.